Lifestyle matters. It's more than money. Welcome to another edition of More Than Money on 77CHQR. You're here with Dave and my partner, Andrew Masson. Faisal not with us today on holidays. I hope you're enjoying your holiday long weekend, my friend. We've got a pretty good show today. We want to talk a little bit about staying engaged when you retire. And part of what this is being recognized by more and more people. We know what we're retiring from. Often don't know what we're retiring to. I think most people that we talk to would generally agree that, listen, there's two key components. You've got to keep your mind engaged in retirement, but you've also got to keep physically active.
Yep.
And you know what? This is not going unnoticed by the universities in Canada, including the University of Calgary. So there is an age-friendly university global network of which the USC is part of. And we want to bring them on today and talk a little bit about that because there's some really interesting benefits for seniors that I certainly didn't know about that we can, give some exposure to.
Well, and, you know, if you think about it, Dave, there's been a lot of times where people not only talk to us, but we're always talking about how do you feel that day when you leave retirement?
Yep.
But more importantly, what are you going to do next? Because there's always something exciting that you want to do. Maybe, you know, it was becoming a chef.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's I want to further my education because I didn't have a chance to do it before. Or whatever the reason is, it gives us an opportunity.
I'm going to be an astrophysicist when I retire.
Outstanding.
Clearly not smart enough to make a career out of it. I knew that much early on, but it'll be fun to study when I'm retired and I don't have the pressure. We've had an election here. I got to tell you, we've had lots of conversations, calls. There's a lot of unsettled Albertans. You certainly throw people from Saskatchewan there as well. But let's take a look at how the next 4 years might really impact us, what it might really look like under this new administration. We're going to talk about that, and you want to stick around for that today. But let's start the show and talk a little bit about the markets this week, as we often do. It's interesting. We just finished our quarterly conference call. And as preparation for that, we go through an investment committee meeting and talk a little bit about what the economics look like and so on and so forth. And we're still talking about the same things we were talking about 2 and 3 years ago.
Yep.
Right? We're still talking about the trade relationship and how that's either moving forward or not, moving backwards. We're talking about Brexit issues. But there has been a lot of activity in those areas over the last little while. I have to say, generally speaking, markets were fairly tame, moving slightly mm-hmm. higher, equity markets I'm talking about, on anticipation that we might be coming to at least a partial resolution or a partial deal between China and the United States.
Well, and that's been going on. That's been on the burner for a long period of time. And now there's a point where, presidency is going to be questioned or could potentially questioned simply because they haven't dealt with this or it hasn't been finished yet. And of course, they're moving into an election year. So these combined is definitely pushing that needle a little bit.
Well, and it's interesting because the data, the headlines certainly drive individual trading activity. You know, late in the week, we were getting news that, hey, the administration's respective Chinese U.S. administrations had agreed to some temporary rollbacks or mm-hmm. what, the tariff situation is going to look like on a go-forward basis as they're working through this. And then, we have President Trump come out later and say, no, I haven't agreed to anything yet. And so we're still in that, the market still being driven by that headline. You don't know what to believe. Very difficult in that environment to, on a day-to-day basis, figure out what the actual details are going to be. Brexit is no different, though.
No, right? But I think just to finish that off, I think there's a sense of optimism the market is sort of taking with it, believing that it's going to move forward. It's just time.
Yeah, well, I think that's been around for a little while. And the same would hold of Brexit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through another parliamentary election. You got a new prime minister, a new deal that's in place. Again, they can't get it through the finish line. Another vote coming. But I would say the same thing as you just said. I think there's a sense of optimism building that both parties, the UK and the EU, are just so exhausted over this process that they've been through for 3 years that they have to come to some resolution.
Well, and I think the population is somewhat exhausted too, at
sure.
which point they're going to make a choice.
Right, right.
Because that's really what that election is coming to be. It's a choice about whether or not you want to do this or not.
Right. So there is a sense of optimism building on some of those big geopolitical things that we've been talking about for a long time, and that's being reflected in the trade. And then you look at, earnings season. I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but this quarter on the S&P 500, we were expecting to see a negative year-over-year earnings impact. Now, we're coming off some base effects of big tax changes for U.S. corporations. So the next, call it 1, 2, maybe 3 quarters, there could be some pressure on corporate earnings.
A little deceleration.
Yeah, yeah. So don't be surprised if you see that. But when we talk about these things, I guess what I want to say is there's a bunch of moving parts. Some of it is this emotional optimism that's building, right? Very, very difficult to know the facts because a lot of it's happening, you know, behind the scenes. But we need to be data dependent. And so what we talked about on the conference call with our client base is be data dependent. We've got an economic dashboard. We look at the numbers. We look at, are things improving or slowing? What's the manufacturing, global manufacturing doing? Are we in a global manufacturing recession or not? Is there an inverted yield curve? If not right now, what does it tell us? All of these different elements, and stay data dependent, because it's very difficult in an environment where you've got these minute by minute headlines moving things around. It's easy to fall into the emotional decision. And emotional decisions can be destructive, right? So stay data dependent. Make sure your strategy meets your objectives, and then follow what the data tells you. Okay, but day-to-day price discovery, the trading activity that you see based on whatever hits the headline on a day-to-day basis, very difficult to see anything. People get surprised where you get a 1,000-point drop, and 3 days later you're up 1,000 points. You know that day-to-day trading, or what I call the price discovery, that happens on a day can be highly inaccurate. Right.
Well, there's longer a lot of periods of time. That take part of it. Yeah. So, yeah. Totally. It can be highly inaccurate.
Highly inaccurate.
You know, because a lot of people are moving in and out of the market because they're not data dependent. They're playing the news. They're playing the story.
Right.
And they might be buying a passive index, which of course is driving prices. So all these little things combined can cause a lot of change in your portfolio that you may not have expected.
Yeah. So my comment here, I guess, is if you believe as I do that you can get these wild swings. And those wild swings on a day-to-day basis aren't necessarily accurate. We've had example after example after example of that, right?
Yep.
That you need to drill down into what the key economic data points is that you're looking at. This is how you provide some sanity and stability, in my opinion, is you have to get down to those key economic metrics that are relevant, that you think are relevant and important. And you keep your eye on the ball. And you're not going to find that global manufacturing, as an example, in one day makes a huge move.
Well, those right? metrics...
It's a trend.
That's right. But those metrics also drive two things, right? Like, you have those metrics that we've put in place, and we discussed those on our conference call. But more importantly, once you've determined what those metrics are and where they're going, then you can determine what your asset allocation is. And until you do that, there's no better way of handling it. Because if not, we're just picking stocks willy-nilly. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. Yeah. So that's right. So... I'm just encouraging everybody here to again think through, or if you're working with an advisor, understand the key elements, the key things that they're watching, and what the triggers are for when to make a move, right? And I hope it's not that day-to-day whipsaw trading activity that we can see. We haven't seen any in the last little while, but I'm hard-pressed to think that, you know, going forward, that we're not going to have days like that again. It can be very unsettling for investors. So the key message that we gave to our client base, again, data dependent. Here's the data. This is what we're watching. This is what it's telling us. And ultimately, listen, people have to also take some responsibility in this process, right? So if an advisory team is doing a good job on this, they're constantly remind you of what they're watching, what they're looking at, and what the key assumptions are. Here's the trick. If the key assumptions differ from what you're thinking about, then that is a really important conversation to have, right? Because portfolios can be designed to do anything.
That's right.
Right? In any economic environment, you can design a portfolio to profit or protect. So you just have to make sure you have the same economic assumptions underlying it and understand the good, the bad, and the ugly of what happens if those assumptions change.
And if not, work with your advisor to figure out what that's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's good. Okay, let's wrap it up there. We don't want to belabor that point. But I do want to talk about this is not just about the math behind an investment portfolio. I am not suggesting for a second that that's not really important.
But
when we talk about goals and objectives, there are goals and objectives that go beyond just risk and return. They go to lifestyle. Right. So at our stage, the people that we deal with, what we're interested in is the journey. What does that lifestyle look like for you going forward as you're moving into or living in retirement?
That's right.
and then building an entire wealth strategy that goes beyond just stocks and bonds and risk and return to ensure that all of those different family goals and objectives are met. And that's what we're going to talk about our upcoming seminar.
We are, and that that seminar is going to cover exactly that, lifestyle, how are we going to do it, how to profit and protect. And if you want to join us, please come register at 403-966-8400. It's going to be held at the Sheraton Four Points in Calgary West. That's across from COP. Give us a call or register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
And don't forget that date is Tuesday, November the 19th. It'll start 7 o'clock sharp, yep. And we will have you out of there at 8 o'clock. But after that, Q&A, the interesting after 8 o'clock, full Q&A, anything's fair game. We look forward to seeing you there. We enjoy those presentations a lot. Okay, we have to take a quick break, but don't go away. We're going to talk about what, if you're heading back to school, if you're thinking about keeping your brain engaged, there's a lot of interesting things that the U of C is doing, and we're going to fill you in on that. Stick around for that. You're on More Than Money at 770 CHQR.